Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Dive. Ready to get into it today?
Definitely. Always ready to dive in.
Awesome. So today, we are going to be looking at something that I think everyone kind of deals with.
Yeah.
Which is this idea of, like, quieting that busy mind, you know, that monkey mind that people talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got a whole bunch of sources here.
Okay.
That blend together the sort of ancient wisdom.
Right.
With like modern science and psychology.
I love that. Yeah.
Let's see what we can uncover about, you know.
Finding some peace.
Finding a little bit more peace
yeah.
and focus in our lives.
It's so interesting, this concept of the monkey mind, right?
Yeah.
It's resonated across so many different cultures, time periods.
Totally.
Really captures that feeling of just mental restlessness that we all experience sometimes.
Does. Yeah, that feeling of like constant chattering in your brain, like jumping from one thought to the next.
Yeah.
It can be so exhausting.
It's exhausting.
But it is interesting that like in Buddhism, this isn't necessarily seen as like a problem to be eradicated.
Right.
It's more about understanding the nature of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, the monkey mind is just like a natural part of the human experience.
Okay.
What camplifies it, though, is our tendency to get like really caught up in desires
mm-hmm.
or fears and attachments.
So it's not the thoughts themselves, but it's our relationship to them that causes like the real trouble.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
That constant mental chatter, especially when it's like fueled by negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
that can lead to just a lot of stress and unhappiness.
Right.
Prevents us from being fully present and experiencing like genuine joy.
Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense. But it also makes me feel like a bit deterministic. Like, are we just stuck with this chattering monkey running the show? Is
right.
there really anything we can do about it?
Well, the good news is that modern neuroscience has some really hopeful insights here.
Okay.
Specifically, this idea of neuroplasticity really changes the game.
Okay, neuroplasticity. I've heard that term before, but can you remind me what it's all about?
Yeah. Essentially, it just means that our brains are not fixed.
Okay.
They're constantly changing and adapting based on our experiences, thoughts, even just like the things we intentionally focus on.
So you're saying that like even if I've dealt with like anxiety and like a busy mind my whole life,
yeah.
I can actually like rewire my brain to experience more peace.
That's the amazing thing.
Wow.
So just as negative thought patterns can become ingrained over time,
right?
So can positive ones.
Okay.
It's really empowering to know that we're not just stuck with the mental wiring that we were like born with.
That is incredibly hopeful. Wow.
Right.
So where do we even begin?
Yeah.
What are some of the tools that we can use that kind of blend together
yeah.
this ancient wisdom with modern science to like
yeah.
calm the monkey mind and actually change our brains?
Well, mindfulness meditation has been a cornerstone of Buddhist practice for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming more and more popular in the West as its benefits are scientifically validated.
Right.
Have you ever tried meditating?
I have, but I'll admit, sometimes I really struggle to quiet my mind. It's like herding cats.
It's a common experience. Yeah, yeah. I think the key is to remember that meditation isn't really about, like, stopping your thoughts altogether.
Okay.
That's almost impossible, really.
Yeah.
It's more about learning to observe those thoughts without judgment.
Right.
Noticing them as they arise.
Yeah.
Almost like watching clouds drift by.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like gently redirecting your attention back to your breath.
Okay.
Or a chosen anchor.
So it's more about like developing a different relationship with our thoughts
yeah.
rather than trying to control them.
Exactly. And so with practice, you start to cultivate this sense of spaciousness around your thoughts.
Okay.
You're not so identified with them anymore.
Uh-huh.
You're the observer,
mm-hmm.
not the thought itself.
Right.
And that's where that sense of peace and freedom comes from.
That makes a lot of sense. But for someone who is like brand new to meditation,
right,
it can feel pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Are there any like specific techniques that can make it easier to get started?
Absolutely. There are so many different styles of meditation.
Okay.
But one that I think is particularly helpful for like taming the monkey mind,
okay,
is called loving kindness or metta meditation.
Metta meditation. Okay. I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay.
What is that all about?
It's a beautiful practice that involves cultivating feelings of compassion and goodwill,
mm-hmm.
first towards yourself,
okay,
and then extending it outward towards like other people.
So how does that help to quiet that inner chatter?
Well, one of the things that kind of keeps the monkey mind going
mm-hmm.
is that harsh inner critic that we all have.
Oh yeah.
The one that's like constantly judging,
Lovely.
Comparing, finding fault.
Yeah.
And loving kindness practice helps to like soften that inner critic.
Oh, wow.
You replace those like harsh thoughts
right.
with this sense of like warmth and acceptance.
So it's not like silencing that inner critic, but it's like changing the tone of voice, so to speak.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
It's like replacing that really judgmental voice with like a kind and supportive friend.
I like that.
And when we offer ourselves that compassion, it naturally extends outwards to others too.
Yeah.
Creates this ripple effect of positivity.
I love that.
Yeah.
It seems like such a simple but powerful practice.
It really is.
Are there other tools kind of from the Buddhist tradition that can help us like navigate this inner landscape?
There's this concept called non-attachment.
Okay.
It's central to a lot of Buddhist teachings. It's a bit of a tricky one to grasp.
Okay.
But it's so liberating once you kind of start to understand it.
Non-attachment. It sounds a bit like detachment.
Right.
Which can kind of have negative connotations in our culture.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on what it actually means in this context?
Yeah. It's not about like becoming emotionally detached or indifferent to life.
Mm.
It's more about recognizing that everything is impermanent.
Right.
Our thoughts, our emotions, our experiences, they're all constantly changing.
Right.
And it's actually clinging tightly to them.
Yeah.
Trying to control them. That causes us so much suffering.
So it's about like letting go of that need to control everything.
Yeah.
Accepting the flow of life as it unfolds.
You got it.
Okay.
It's like watching leaves floating down a stream.
Mm-hmm.
You observe them.
Yeah.
But you don't try to like grab onto them and hold them in place.
Right.
You allow them to flow naturally.
Okay. That's a helpful analogy.
Yeah.
So we've got mindfulness, loving kindness, non-attachment.
Mm.
These are all really powerful practices for calming the mind.
Yeah.
Cultivating a more peaceful inner state.
Absolutely.
But are there any like on the spot tricks for when your monkey mind is going absolutely bananas?
Yes.
Something you can do in the middle of a stressful meeting or when you're just feeling completely overwhelmed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a number of grounding techniques
okay.
that can help you just anchor your mind in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
One really popular one is called the 5-4-3-2-1 method.
The 5-4-3-2-1 method. Okay, I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty straightforward.
It is.
Yeah.
You simply take a moment to just notice and name
okay.
five things you can see,
sure.
four things you can touch,
right.
three things you can hear,
right.
two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste.
It's like a mini sensory scavenger hunt.
Yes.
I can see how that would shift your attention away from
yeah.
you know, your thoughts and bring you back into your body in the present moment.
Exactly. It helps to interrupt that like mental whirlwind and calm the nervous system.
Okay.
By grounding you in your immediate surroundings.
Right.
It's a great tool to have in your back pocket for when you need a quick reset.
Awesome. This is all fantastic.
Yeah.
So we've got some great tools here from ancient wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But how does modern science come into play here? You mentioned neuroplasticity.
Yeah. How can we like actually rewire our brains for more peace?
That's where practices like mantras and affirmations come in.
Okay.
They directly harness the power of neuroplasticity to shift our mental patterns.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Tell me more about how mantras and affirmations work.
Okay.
What's the science behind them?
Well, think of them as like positive messages you intentionally repeat to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like planting seeds in your mind.
Okay.
Mantras have their roots in spiritual traditions.
Right.
Often sacred sounds or phrases with deep meaning.
Uh-huh.
Affirmations are more like positive statements that are aimed at like reshaping your beliefs and your thoughts.
So for example, Om Mani Padme Hum would be a mantra.
Yes.
Well, something like I am worthy and capable
yeah.
would be more of an affirmation.
Perfect examples. And yeah. the fascinating thing is neuroscience is showing us that the repetition of these phrases,
right.
especially when paired with like focused attention and emotion,
yeah.
actually strengthens the neural pathways
that are associated with those desired states of mind.
So it's not just like some feel-good mumbo-jumbo. There's mm-hmm. actual brain science behind this.
Exactly. It's about intentionally rewiring those neural circuits.
Oh.
And the more you practice,
yeah.
the more those positive pathways become your brain's kind of like go-to response.
Right.
Replacing those old, unhelpful patterns.
This is starting to sound very hopeful.
Right.
But tell me, how do mantras actually work to like calm that anxious monkey mind?
Well, studies have shown that certain mantras, especially when they're used in meditation, can help to calm the amygdala,
okay.
which is the part of the brain that is often referred to as like the fear center.
Yeah.
They essentially help to like dial down those fear and stress signals.
So it's like hitting the mute button on those like anxiety-provoking thoughts.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And here's a bonus.
Okay.
When you engage in these practices, your brain releases dopamine.
Interesting.
Which is a neurotransmitter associated with pleasure and reward.
So it's like training your monkey mind with positive reinforcement instead of punishment.
Exactly. It's about creating that positive feedback loop.
Okay.
Where the more you practice, the better you feel.
Right.
And the more motivated you are to keep going.
That makes a lot of sense. But let's get practical.
Yeah.
Any tips for actually incorporating these like mantras and affirmations into our daily lives?
Absolutely. First of all, I think it's crucial to choose phrases that genuinely resonate with you.
Yeah.
It could be something as simple as like, I am peaceful, or I trust my intuition. Don't just choose something because it sounds good.
Right.
Like make it personal and meaningful for you.
To find those words that really speak to your soul.
Right, precisely. And then create a consistent practice.
Right.
It doesn't have to be hours of meditation.
Sure.
Even just 5 minutes a day can make a difference.
Yeah.
You can repeat your mantra or affirmation silently.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down. Even listen to a recording of it.
Okay, so consistency is key, just like with any new habit. Any other tips for making these practices even more effective?
Combine them with visualization.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're repeating an affirmation about confidence, imagine yourself succeeding in a situation that usually makes you nervous.
Right.
Picture yourself feeling really calm and capable.
Okay.
Engage multiple senses and really embody that feeling of the affirmation.
So it's about bringing the affirmation or mantra to life in your mind.
Yes.
Making it like a full sensory experience.
You got it. The more you can engage your mind, your body, and your emotions,
yeah,
the more profound the impact will be.
This is all fantastic advice. Yeah. I'm already feeling more inspired to experiment with these techniques.
But that's right.
But what about those like really deep-rooted fears?
Okay.
That just keep popping up no matter how much we try to like meditate or affirm our way out of them.
Oh, for those more like stubborn fears, we can turn to another really fascinating approach.
Okay.
That blends self-inquiry with the principles of neuroplasticity.
Ooh, I'm all ears. Tell me more about this mysterious method.
It's called The Work, which was developed by Byron Katie.
Okay.
It's a really simple but surprisingly powerful process for examining and transforming those fear-based thoughts.
Okay, tell me everything.
Yeah.
How does The Work actually help us face those fears?
So you start by identifying the specific thought that's causing you fear or distress.
Okay.
So for example, it could be, I'm afraid of failing.
Right.
Or I'm not good enough.
Okay.
Write that thought down
mm-hmm.
and then ask yourself four questions.
Okay, four questions that can dismantle fear. This I have to hear.
So the first is simply, is it true?
Okay.
You look at that thought honestly and ask yourself, is that thought actually true?
Okay, that seems straightforward enough. What's the second question?
And the second question is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Mm.
And this is where you start to dig deeper.
Yeah.
And challenge those assumptions that you might be holding on to.
So it's about questioning the certainty that we often have about our fears.
Yeah.
Even if they might not be rooted in reality.
Exactly.
Wow.
The third question is, how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought?
Okay.
So this is about observing the impact of that thought on your emotions, your behavior, you know, your whole being.
So you're becoming aware of how that thought might be like running your life and potentially holding you back.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the final question?
The final question is perhaps the most liberating of all.
Okay.
Who would you be?
Uh-huh.
Without that thought.
Wow.
You know, can you imagine your life?
Yeah.
Your experience without that fear-based belief?
Yeah, I can already sense a feeling of lightness just pondering that.
Right.
You also mentioned something about a turnaround.
Yes.
What's that about?
That's where the real magic happens.
Okay.
So after you've explored those four questions, you take that original thought.
Okay.
And you turn it around in three different ways.
Okay, I'm officially fascinated. How do you actually turn a thought around?
So let's say your original thought is, I'm afraid of failing.
Okay.
The first turnaround is turning it to yourself.
Okay.
So instead of, I'm afraid of failing,
mm-hmm.
you would say, I'm not afraid of failing.
Interesting. So you're kind of flipping the script on that fear.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the other two turnarounds?
The second turnaround is turning it to the other.
Okay.
So in this case, it would be, failing is afraid of me.
Okay, that one's a bit more abstract.
Yeah.
I can kind of see how it would shift your perspective, though.
Yeah. Like,
what's the final turnaround?
The final turnaround is turning it to the opposite.
Okay.
So for I'm afraid of failing, it would be, I'm excited about failing.
Hold on, excited about failing?
Yeah.
How does that even make sense?
I know. It might seem counterintuitive at first.
Yeah.
But the point is to loosen the grip of those like rigid beliefs and open up to new possibilities.
So it's about reframing failure as a potential opportunity for growth and learning rather than something to be feared.
Exactly.
Okay.
And for each turnaround, you find specific examples from your own life where that new statement feels true.
Right.
This helps to anchor the new perspective in reality.
This is also interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like a mental workout.
Yeah.
Okay. But one that's actually like fun and empowering.
Right.
But how does the work actually help us overcome those like really persistent fears?
Yeah.
What's the mechanism behind its magic?
Well, first of all, it helps to break the illusion of certainty
okay.
that we often have about our fears mm-hmm. by questioning those thoughts.
Right.
We realize that they're not absolute truths.
Okay.
But just beliefs that we've been holding on to.
It's like shining a light on those like shadowy fears.
Yes.
And seeing them for what they really are, just thoughts.
Exactly. Thoughts, not facts.
Right, not facts.
And then by turning those thoughts around, we shift our perspective.
Okay.
We start to see new possibilities mm-hmm. and realize that those fears might not be as insurmountable as we once thought.
That is incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So the work also cultivates a sense of inner peace because it helps us accept what is.
Okay.
So instead of fighting against our fears, we learn to meet them with curiosity and compassion.
So it's about making peace with that inner critic
yeah.
rather than trying to silence it completely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And finally, the work really encourages action.
Mm-hmm.
When the grip of fear loosens, we feel freer to take those steps that we've been putting off.
Right.
Even if there's a chance of failure.
Wow, just hearing about the work is giving me a sense of freedom and possibility.
Yeah.
Like a mental detox for those fear-based thoughts.
That's a great way to put it. It's about letting go of those mental burdens.
Yeah.
And embracing the unknown with more courage and clarity. And what's remarkable is that it aligns beautifully with what we know about neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
By challenging those fear-based thoughts.
Yeah.
We're essentially weakening those neural pathways.
Okay.
And creating space for new, more empowering beliefs to take root.
It's like we're weeding out the mental clutter.
Yes.
And planting a garden of positive possibilities instead.
What a beautiful analogy.
Yeah.
And remember, even if those fears resurface,
right,
which they likely will,
yeah,
we now have the tools to meet them with curiosity rather than resistance.
Yeah. This deep dive has given us so many techniques to try.
It has.
From mindfulness meditation and loving kindness
mm-hmm.
to mantras, affirmations, and the work.
Yes.
It's so inspiring to realize how much power we actually have
yeah.
to shape our own mental experience.
It's empowering, right?
Yeah.
To know that we're not just at the mercy of our monkey minds.
Totally.
We have the capacity to choose how we respond to those thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And in doing so, we can actually change the very structure of our brains.
That's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It really is. And it speaks to the incredible potential that I think lies within each of us.
Yeah. So with all of these tools at our disposal, where do we even begin?
Right.
It can feel a bit overwhelming.
You're right. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Just choose one practice that really resonates with you
mm-hmm.
and commit to it for a set period of time.
Okay.
Maybe it's 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation every morning.
Right.
Or incorporating a specific affirmation into your daily routine.
Yeah.
The important thing is to be consistent and patient with yourself.
Consistency and patience, those are two qualities that my monkey mind does not always excel at.
I hear you.
But I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
There will be days when your mind feels really calm and focused.
Yeah.
And there will be days when that monkey is like swinging from the chandeliers.
Totally.
And that's okay. That's totally normal.
Right.
The key is to just notice those fluctuations without judgment
mm.
and gently redirect your attention back to the practices that support you.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's about recognizing that this is an ongoing process, not a quick fix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as you continue to engage in these practices, you'll gradually build those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
Okay.
It's like strengthening a muscle. The more you use it,
mm-hmm.
the stronger it becomes.
So even if we stumble or fall off track,
yes.
the important thing is to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Those practices that help us to cultivate a more peaceful mental state.
Absolutely. Every time you choose a mindful breath over like a worry spiral.
Right.
Every time you replace a negative thought with a positive affirmation, every time you face a fear with inquiry,
yeah,
you're strengthening those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
It's like we're building a mental muscle.
Yeah.
One thought, one breath, one courageous action at a time.
Beautifully put. And as we cultivate those inner strengths,
yeah,
we naturally become more present, more compassionate,
mm-hmm.
more capable of navigating the ups and downs of life.
This has been such an incredible deep dive.
Yeah. I feel like I've gained so much insight into like the workings of the monkey mind.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the power that we have to tame it.
It's powerful stuff, right?
It is.
It is.
So with all these tools at our disposal, where do we even begin? It can feel a little overwhelming.
You're right. It is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Choose one practice that resonates with you and commit to it for like a set period of time. Maybe it's 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation every morning.
Yeah.
Or incorporating a specific affirmation into your daily routine. The important thing is to be consistent and patient with yourself.
Consistency and patience. Those are two qualities that my monkey mind does not always excel at.
I hear you. I hear you.
But I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
I love that. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
You know, there's going to be days when your mind feels calm and focused. And then there are going to be days where that monkey is swinging from the chandeliers.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's totally normal.
Right.
The key is to just notice those fluctuations without judgment and just gently redirect your attention back to the practices that support you.
That makes sense. It's about recognizing that this is an ongoing process, not a quick fix.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And as you continue to engage in these practices, you'll gradually build those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
Okay.
You know, it's like strengthening a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
So even if we stumble or fall off track, the important thing is to keep coming back to those practices that help us to cultivate a more peaceful mental state.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time you choose a mindful breath over a worry spiral.
Right.
Every time you replace a negative thought with a positive affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you face a fear with inquiry.
Yeah.
You're strengthening those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
Yeah. It's like we're building a mental muscle, one thought, one breath, one courageous action at a time.
Beautifully put.
Right.
Yeah. And as we cultivate those inner strengths, we naturally become more present.
Yeah.
More compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
More capable of navigating the ups and downs of life.
This has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like I've gained so much insight into the workings of the monkey mind and, more importantly, the power we have to tame it.
It's powerful stuff, right?
It is. It is. So with all these tools at our disposal, where do we even begin? It can feel a little overwhelming.
You're right. It is a lot to take in. I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Choose one practice that resonates with you and commit to it for a set period of time.
Okay.
Maybe it's 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation every morning.
Right.
Or incorporating a specific affirmation into your daily routine.
Right.
The important thing is to be consistent and patient with yourself.
Consistency and patience. Those are two qualities that my monkey mind does not always excel at, but I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
I love that. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination. There will be days when your mind feels calm and focused, and there'll be days when that monkey is like swinging from the chandeliers, and that's okay.
Right.
That's totally normal. The key is to just notice those fluctuations without judgment and gently redirect your attention back to the practices that support you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that this is an ongoing process, not a quick fix.
Exactly.
Right. And as you continue to engage in these practices, you'll gradually build those neural pathways of peace and resilience. It's like strengthening a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
Exactly.
So even if we stumble or fall off track, the important thing is to keep coming back to those practices that help us to cultivate a more peaceful mental state.
Absolutely. Every time you choose a mindful breath over a worry spiral, every time you replace a negative thought with a positive affirmation, every time you face a fear with inquiry, you're strengthening those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
It's like we're building a mental muscle, one thought, one breath, one courageous action at a time.
Beautifully put. And as we cultivate those inner strengths, we naturally become more present, more compassionate, and more capable of navigating the inevitable ups and downs of life.
It's like we're weeding out all the clutter, you know, the mental clutter.
Yeah, yeah.
And planting like a garden of positive possibilities.
I love that analogy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even if those fears, you know,
right.
resurface, which they probably will,
yeah.
we have the tools now to meet them with that curiosity rather than resistance.
Right. This deep dive has given us so many techniques to try.
It has.
Mindfulness, meditation, and loving kindness to mantras and affirmations and the work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so inspiring to realize how much power we actually have to shape our own mental experience.
It is empowering, right, to know that we're not just at the mercy of our monkey minds.
Totally.
We have the capacity to choose how we respond to those thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And in doing so, we can actually change the very structure of our brains.
That's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the incredible potential that lies within each of us.
Yeah. So with all these tools at our disposal, where do we even begin?
Yeah.
It can feel a little overwhelming.
Yeah, you're right. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Just choose one practice that resonates with you and commit to it for a set period of time.
Okay.
Maybe it's 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation every morning.
Right.
Or incorporating a specific affirmation into your daily routine.
Right.
The important thing is to be consistent and patient with yourself.
Consistency and patience, those are two qualities my monkey mind does not always excel at.
I hear you.
But I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
There will be days when your mind feels really calm and focused.
Yeah.
And there will be days when that monkey is swinging from the chandeliers. That's okay. That's totally normal.
Right.
The key is to just notice those fluctuations without judgment and just gently redirect your attention back to the practices that support you.
That makes sense. It's about recognizing that this is an ongoing process, not a quick fix.
Yeah.
Right. And as you continue to engage in these practices, you'll gradually build those neural pathways of peace and resilience, like strengthening a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
Oh, exactly. And so
even if we stumble or fall off track, the important thing is to keep coming back to those practices that help us cultivate a more peaceful mental state.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time you choose a mindful breath over a worry spiral.
Right.
Every time you replace a negative thought with a positive affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you face a fear with inquiry.
Yeah.
You are strengthening those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
Yeah. It's like we're building a mental muscle. One thought, one breath, one courageous action at a time.
Beautifully put. And as we cultivate those inner strengths, we naturally become more present.
Yeah.
More compassionate,
mm-hmm.
more capable of navigating those inevitable ups and downs of life.
This has been an incredible deep dive. Yeah. I feel like I've gained so much insight into the workings of the monkey mind.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the power that we have to tame it.
Powerful stuff, right?
It is. It is. So with all these tools at our disposal,
mm-hmm.
where do we even begin? It can feel a little overwhelming.
You're right. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
The key is to start small.
Okay.
Choose one practice that resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
Commit to it for a set period of time.
Yep.
Maybe it's 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation each morning.
Yeah.
Or incorporating a specific affirmation into your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is to be consistent and patient with yourself.
Consistency and patience. Those are two qualities that my monkey mind does not always excel at.
I hear you. I hear you.
But I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
I love that. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
You know, there's going to be days when your mind feels calm and focused.
Totally.
And then there are going to be days where that monkey is swinging from the chandeliers.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. That's totally normal.
Yeah.
The key is to just notice those fluctuations without judgment and gently redirect your attention back to the practices that support you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that this is an ongoing process, not a quick fix.
Exactly.
Right? And as you continue to engage in these practices, you'll gradually build those neural pathways of peace and resilience. It's like strengthening a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
Exactly.
So even if we stumble or fall off track, the important thing is to keep coming back to those practices that help us to cultivate a more peaceful mental state.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time you choose a mindful breath over a worry spiral, every time you replace a negative thought with a positive affirmation, every time you face a fear with inquiry, you're strengthening those neural pathways of peace and resilience.
It's like we're building a mental muscle. One thought, one breath, one courageous action at a time.
Beautifully put. And as we cultivate those inner strengths, we naturally become more present, more compassionate, more capable of navigating the inevitable ups and downs of life.
Wow, it feels like we've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
We have.
It's amazing to see how like these ancient practices and modern science can work together to help us like understand and tame our busy minds.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how those different perspectives really complement each other.
Yeah.
You know, we have this ancient wisdom that's been passed down for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to like understand the underlying neurological mechanisms at play.
Right. It's like we have this whole new toolkit for navigating the inner world.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. But as we wrap up,
okay.
I'm curious to hear your perspective on something.
Yeah.
If our monkey minds could actually talk,
okay,
what message do you think they'd be trying to convey?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think the monkey mind would probably say something like, pay attention to me.
Oh.
I'm trying to keep you safe.
Okay.
You know, it's constantly scanning for danger, reminding us of past hurts.
Right.
Worrying about potential threats in the future.
Yeah.
It's all part of our, like, survival mechanism.
So in a way, the monkey mind has good intentions, even if it doesn't always feel that way.
Exactly.
Right.
But the problem is the monkey mind doesn't always distinguish between like real threats and imagined ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it can get stuck in that loop of negativity and anxiety, even when there's no actual danger present.
That makes sense. So how do we learn to discern between the thoughts that are actually helpful and those that are just causing like unnecessary stress?
That's where those practices we've been talking about come in. You know, mindfulness helps us to create space around those thoughts so that we can observe them without getting swept away.
Right.
Loving kindness helps us to meet those thoughts with compassion rather than judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And the work helps us to question those thoughts.
Yeah.
And like uncover the deeper truth beneath them.
It's like we're learning to become the wise observer of our own mental landscape rather than just like getting lost in the drama.
Precisely. And as we cultivate that inner awareness, we naturally become more discerning, more resilient, and more able to make choices that are aligned with our well-being.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of how to approach my own mental chatter and cultivate more peace.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. So any final words of wisdom for our listeners as they embark on their own journeys of self-discovery?
Be patient with yourself.
Okay.
Progress is not always linear.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate your small victories.
Yeah.
And be kind to yourself when you stumble.
Right.
And remember, you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
There are teachers. There are communities. There are resources available to support you on your path.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
This has been an incredible deep dive.
It really has.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this exploration of the monkey mind.
Yes, thank you.
May your journey be filled with peace, clarity, and joy.